Thank you. good day in the house of the Lord already. We're glad that you're here. If you're visiting for the first time, we're thankful that you've come to worship with us here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. Please be in prayer for those that are out of town. Good to have Anna back from Canada. We still have the Barclays up in Canada. We have three families up in the cabins in Georgia, and they should be driving back this afternoon. So be praying for them as they come back safely. You know, the roads can be kind of hectic, you know, coming through Ocala, down 95, whichever way they choose to come. So be in prayer for them. It is wonderful to have our missionaries, the McKinleys, with us. And the ladies have put together a basket. Ms. McKinley, would you mind?
She's not in here.
So Brother McKinley, there you go. Ladies, fix that basket up for them as they travel. They have been our missionaries for quite some time, have been friends to our family personally. Our daughter, McKinley, was named after their last name. Been a real blessing to know them over the years, and so we're glad that they're here with us. Brother McKinley's going to come and give us a report of everything that's going on in Ireland, and then show a slide and then preach for us. Thank you, brother. Come on.
It is great to be back here with you. It is too hot here in Florida, though. In Ireland, our average summer temperature is around 75 degrees. And so we come here during the winter because it still feels like summer to us. And but it is good to be here. It's good to see the Stocktons once again. The Lord has been very good to us. We've been missionaries now in Ireland since 1999, so 20 years this year since we started our deputation and raising support and everything. We went to the field in May of 2000 and spent two and a half years there doing an internship under another missionary. Then we came back to the States, raised some more support, and went back to the field in 2005 to start a new church. And you guys have been supporting us for quite a while now, and we want to say a personal thank you to you. Many times we get cards and thank yous and stuff from your different classes, and I can't tell you how encouraging that is to us, and we just want to say a big thank you. It helps us know that we're in your prayers. And as we are there, we are representing this church, and we are your extension to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so it's a privilege to represent this church on the field of Ireland, and we preach the gospel, we go door knocking, we reach souls, we disciple them, and what you're going to see on the video is fruit to this church's account. And we just want to say thank you for that. So at this time, we'll show the video. I'm Gene McKinley. My wife Christy and I and our family have been here in Ireland since 2000. We have been standing in the gap before the Lord for these people. And praise the Lord, through time, God has sent us to Mullingar here in the Midlands back in 2005. Over the past 13 years, we have seen the Lord bring 76 people to a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. 62 of those have followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Through that, we've seen the Good News Baptist Church established, and we've seen people trained for ministry, people trained in teaching and following the Lord, people trained to do discipleships with others and do Bible studies. And we praise the Lord for each one of those. We look forward to what the Lord is going to do in the future. We want to thank you personally for all that you have done for us. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Every soul is fruit to your account. And we look forward to the time when you will meet these dear people in glory. Please continue to stay standing in the gap for the people of Ireland. My children have gotten together with another missionary family in Ireland, who their two boys play violin as well. And they have talked about this for a couple of years, that they wanted to start mixing some of the Irish tunes, the old Irish airs, with hymns and making their own arrangements. Well, they talked about it for about a year, and then all of a sudden this past year they decided, well, if we're going to do something, we need to stop talking about it and do it. So they started putting together their own music. They played two of them for you this morning, and they are trying to make a CD, and those songs will be available hopefully by Christmas is when we're hoping to have the recording done. And so we'll put the information out in our prayer letter. Caleb also has some information he could let you look at if you would like more information on that music. It is a delight to be here. One of the things that is very special is having a family that is involved in ministry, in every aspect of the ministry, and then seeing fruit of their ministry. We had a couple of young ladies on this trip while we were here, go up to Brother Tom, the young man who we've trained, who is covering the ministry for us while we're gone, and ask, could they teach the Sunday school classes of the little kids while we're gone? Because we've been teaching them how to teach, but they hadn't had opportunities yet. And so they approached him and said, we're ready, can we teach those classes? And so what a privilege that is, and what a blessing. And so we're excited about what the Lord's doing. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 28 with me, Matthew chapter 28, a common passage for missionaries to preach from, but I'd like to give some perspective to the passage. Of course, we call this the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, this is when the Lord gave to His church the greatest calling, the greatest purpose. In fact, the very reason why this church here, Lock Haven Baptist Church, exists. Everything you do is surrounded around this command that God has given us. So, if you would stand with me in honor of God's word, we're going to read the last three verses of the passage. Then we'll have a word of prayer and you can be seated. Starting in verse number 18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we do thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the promises and the commands that you've given us. And Lord, the ones that we see right here in this passage are such an encouragement. And I thank you for this church and their faithfulness. And I pray that you would continue to strengthen them. And Lord, may they go forward in your power and your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We have been given this great commission, and this commission was given to the Lord's disciples, the heads of the church that he started, and this command is given under his authority. When it says there in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, that same word, the Greek word behind the word power there, is also translated authority in other places. Yes, it is talking about the power of God, but it's talking about the authoritative power of God. And he says, that's why he starts verse 19 the way he does. Go ye therefore. Why? Because you have the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. You have the responsibility to carry out His command. And He tells us, He says, go ye therefore and teach who? Teach all nations. Teach all nations. Now this is not talking about geographical boundaries. This is talking about people groups. And we have multiple people groups in Ireland, and Ireland has opened its doors to anything and everything that wants to come in. You saw in our video there, we have anywhere between 7 and 9 different nationalities in our church. God has given us a great opportunity to reach people from all around the world right there in Ireland. But it says here, teach. Now, this is a different Greek word than the word teach in verse 20. This word teach means to make someone a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. We are to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in. We are to compel them. I've had people tell me, Brother Stockton, we're not supposed to go soul winning. Because the Bible doesn't tell us to go win souls, we're just to tell them. And I said, what does it mean to compel? The Lord Himself says, come, let us reason together. Reasoning is you're taking the Word of God and you're showing them and you're compelling them. My side of truth, because it lines up with God's Word, is truth. If your side does not line up with God's truth, you need to trust Christ as your Savior and you need to come to this side. That is winning people to the side of Jesus Christ. That's what we do. Now, once somebody becomes a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and they give their life to the Lord, what are we to do next? The second part, and I appreciated what the Sunday school teacher said in the young couples class, or couples class, I'm not sure, we were all young in there. But he said in there, you know, a lot of times in the 60s and 70s and 80s, the Baptist churches in America kind of went through this phase where everybody was trying to be the biggest. And many times they'd stand on the street corners and they'd lead people to the Lord before the light turned green. But then, first of all, the question would be, are they truly saved? Did they truly understand? Secondly, the question would be, what are we doing with them after that? That's only one third of the Great Commission, is to lead them to Christ. Once we lead them to Christ, they need to make a public show of that faith in Christ by their baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They need to get baptized scripturally, baptized by a scriptural authority. Now, once they're saved and baptized, what do we need to do? We then have the responsibility to teach them, or this word teach literally means instruction. We need to instruct them to do what? To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, this word, to observe, means to watch, to guard over and keep. It means to fulfill it. So we're to teach them to observe, to fulfill the Word of God in and through their life. Now, you can't do that in a 10 or 12 week discipleship class. The Lord lived with His disciples for 3 years. Discipleship goes much further than just sitting down with somebody for a Bible lesson. I firmly believe that discipleship is spending enough time with the person you're discipling that they see me struggle in an area, and they see me take God at His Word, and they see me step out by faith. And then when they come to a hard point and a struggle in their life, they say, I've seen this before. And God helped them, He can help me. So we need to spend enough time with them. Discipleship is not just a set of lessons, it's time spent. Are we devoting ourselves? Are you devoting yourself as a church to this call of God? Notice he says here, to teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And this church, that's the reason why we have all these different Sunday school classes and the children's programs and all of the other things that this church does. It's to support teaching all things, so that this church can grow. You realize, if the church stops doing part number three, part number one will eventually fail. And if you stop doing part number one, part number two will be non-existent. And if you stop continuing to do all three parts in your giving to missions to go around the world to reach the gospel. At some point, you're going to reach a ceiling where you just can't give anymore. Therefore, your missions program will stagnate and die. So just as much as you are expecting your missionaries to follow this plan on the field, your missionaries are dependent upon the fact that you're following the same plan here. That you are going. That you are teaching. That you are making disciples. That you're bringing them to the local church to be baptized. And then you're teaching them all things so that they can go out and do the same thing right along with you. There is this need. But you know, with such a big command, God makes a special promise. He makes a very special promise. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, I believe that this is different than just the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Now, every believer, if you're a true born-again Christian, the Spirit of God lives and dwells within us. He teaches us. He works in us. He leads us. He guides us. But there is a special presence of God when God's people meet together in the local church. He said in Matthew chapter 18, he says, "Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them." It's his special ecclesiastical presence. And yes, you can get a special blessing by getting the preaching tapes or downloading the audio sermon and listening to it. And you might learn something, but you are not going to have the same impact of the Spirit of God unless you're here. You need to be in God's house when God's people choose to meet together. It's vital. God's special presence is here because He promised it. Regardless of whether you feel anything special or not, He promised to meet with us. And He's here. And He has promised to meet with His assemblies until He returns. Anytime this church decides, "We're going to meet together and we're going to do this," God's presence is here in a special way. So when somebody says, "Well, I can worship God just as well out on a boat on the lake as I can at church." No, you can't. Because God does not promise His special presence on the lake unless the whole church goes to the lake to meet together. But God does promise His special presence here. What a privilege we have as local churches with the presence of God. Now, we say, "Well, this is the Great Commission. Do we see it in action?" Well, let's quickly turn to Acts chapter 18. How did Paul view the Great Commission? Acts chapter 18. There's multiple places we could go. This one, to me, is the clearest. Acts chapter 18. So Paul in chapter 13 is sent out from the church at Antioch, him and Barnabas, to plant churches. And so we see what they do here. We'll start in verse number 1. It says, "And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them." So Paul joins himself to Aquila and Priscilla. Now, this is a timeline linchpin. This is one of the areas where we can take the Bible biblical timeline and tie it in with world history. Because we know it was around AD 59, right around the change of century to AD 49 to 50. It was right around that time period when Claudius, the emperor, put the Jews out of Rome. And so this gives us a time frame of the Apostle Paul starting this church, probably the end of AD 50, around 51 maybe. But notice verse 3, Paul joins himself to Aquila and Priscilla. He comes to them, why? Verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Paul was a tent maker, they were tent makers, and they worked together. And he, Paul, reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Doesn't that sound like soul winning?
Yes.
He's persuading them that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the fulfillment of all those Old Testament prophecies. You need to come to Him. You need to trust in Him. He is there at the synagogue persuading the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified that Jesus was Christ. Jesus was the Messiah. A lot of people think Christ is his last name. That's not his last name. That's his title. Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So notice he goes to the Jews and the Greeks who are pursuing the Jewish God. Now he says, okay, I'm going to go to the Greeks. I'm going to turn to them. These Gentiles, I will go. Sounds like he's obeying a command, doesn't it? And he's preaching. It says, verse number 7, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. Now, Brother Stockton, wouldn't it be great to lead the Catholic bishop of this whole area to the Lord? Can you imagine the stir that that would make? You know, I've been told in Ireland, there's times when I've been out knocking on doors, and next to the big Catholic church that you could see in our video, the Catholics always built on the highest ground, built the highest building, so that it just showed they're in charge and they're in the power of everything. So I'm knocking on doors, and this guy comes around the backside of the house, and he's been out working in the garden there. And I told him, I said, well, we're from the Baptist church, and just like to talk to you about the Lord and ask you a few questions. And he turned and he pointed at the Catholic church there and the bishop's house up there beside it, and he said, you know, he says, go convince those guys and I might listen to you. And that's, I've heard that more than once. You go convince those guys and I might listen to you. Well, here, Crispus was the chief ruler of the synagogue. You know what it's like for a Jewish person to put their trust in the Lord? They get disowned. They get kicked out of their home. Many times they're treated as if dead. I can't remember his name, brother. At your home church in Louisiana, the psalm leader there was Jewish. If I remember correctly, he was saved at the age of 16. And I sat with that man and talked with him a lot. He made a huge impression on my life. Kicked out of his home, treated as if he was dead, 16 years old, because he put his trust in Christ. But here, the chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all of his house. And notice, what was the result of that?
And many of the Corinthians hearing, they believed. Now, what happened to all of these people who believed? They were baptized.
Amen.
Sounds like the Great Commission, doesn't it?
Yep.
At least two-thirds of it so far. It says, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, doing what? Teaching the Word of God among them. Same word we have in the Great Commission on instruction. So when the Apostle Paul said, okay, me and Barnabas and Timothy and Silas, we're going out, we're going to go do the Great Commission. People say to me, we're going to go do the Great Commission, they mean we're going soul winning. When the Apostle Paul said, we're going to go do the Great Commission, it always resulted in churches planted. Right? What is it when you lead a group of people to the Lord? You baptize them and you start teaching them on a regular basis. What is that? It's a church. It becomes a church. And you know, that there are more things that go into it than that, but this is breaking it down to its smallest denominator. This is what it is. This is what missions work is. But it's not. It doesn't just stop there. This is what your work is. And I thank God for this church and the stand it has taken, and that it continues to march forward doing what God wants. My wife grew up at Winter Park, just up the road. And in the 20 years we've been married, we have been alarmed at how many Baptist churches in the middle of Orlando have shut down and moved, either totally shut down or moved out of the middle part of the city. Yeah, people do. We do travel, we do get around easier than we used to. But there's work to do here. There are people to reach here. There is a big need here. Don't put all of your stock in the missionary, trusting they'll do the work over there. We're trusting you'll do it here. Continue to plant churches here. Continue to reach people here. Continue to baptize them and bring them in here for teaching and instruction. Or who's going to reach the next generation? We have a great responsibility. The Lord hasn't come back yet. Are we ready? Are we ready to go? Are we going to step out this week and do what God wants us to do? Are you being involved in the work of God where God has you? I believe everybody ought to struggle with the call of God. My dad always accused me. He said, Gene, you think everybody in the world should be called to Ireland as a missionary? And I said, no, Dad, I don't. But I do think everybody should struggle with the possibility. I think you should struggle with the possibility of coming to Ireland. I don't care if you're retired. There's a need there. This morning, in the 23 Baptist churches in Ireland, all of them combined had only 900, at the very peak, had only 998 people in church. Less than 1,000. Less than 0.5% claim to be born again. There's a big need. But dare we ask
percentages here?
Do you know it well enough that you see the burden and the need right where God has you? Get involved. Do what you can. God's work marches forward, and He's coming back soon. Let's bow our heads and pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me just challenge you. Has God spoken to your heart? Maybe you need to be more involved. Maybe God is calling you somewhere, but you fear to surrender. I know what that's like. God will give you a love and a heart for what He calls you to do. Maybe you've just slowed down in what you're doing. Maybe it's time to reevaluate and move forward once again. What are we doing for Jesus' sake? Our Heavenly Father, thank You for such a great command. Lord, we approach it with fear and trembling, knowing that without You we can do nothing. Thank You for the promise of Your presence and Your power upon what we do. I pray that You would stir our hearts this morning, in Jesus' name.
Well, amen. It has been really good to be in God's house today. Thank you for being with us. Hope you've enjoyed yourself. Don't forget, 6 o'clock, there will be prayer time here in the auditorium, and then there will be choir, teen choir and junior choir at 6 o'clock this evening. There is the bread that is over in the fellowship hall for your taking, donated by Publix to us every Friday it comes in. If you come on Friday, first choice, the fellowship door is always open until about 4 o'clock or so, from noon to 4. But there's some left over there. If you'd like some, take it, use it. Maybe you've got a family next to you that's in your neighborhood. You know, they're without a job, and you know, you don't have the funds to help them. Take them a loaf of bread. Whatever you can do, it's there for your use and your taking. It's been good to have Brother McKinley with us and his family. I've been grateful to be a friend of theirs for these many years, and be able to support them as our missionaries here through our extension. The instructions from God's Word was clear. What are you doing to further the gospel message? It is our responsibility. We can't depend upon our missionaries. We got to be involved here. And we're thankful for faithful missionaries on the field. We really are. Father, we love You. We thank You for this night. We pray, God, this morning, we pray You bless, Lord, as we go our way. Thank You for the message. May it find lodging in our hearts. Lord, if there's one that's lost here under the sound of our voice right now, Jesus loves them. You love them. And God, You want to save them. I pray before they leave this church today, Lord, they'd come and they'd ask me or Brother Jim, somebody here at the church, Lord, that they'd want to know more about Jesus. It's not a thing to rush around and get out. I'll get to it later. Lord, today is the day of salvation. You touch their hearts, Lord, may they not leave this building before they know for a certainty they're Your child and have a home in heaven for through eternity because of Jesus and their faith in Him. Thank You, Lord, for our missionary friends and their family. Protect them, Lord, as they head over to Ormond Beach today. Bless them, Lord, as they travel back to Ireland and they reach the country of Ireland on our behalf. We love You and we thank You for this opportunity to be here today. In Jesus' name, amen.